watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
Chaos Springs Eternal is a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes, disturbing imagery, and horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you wouldn't mind comprehending some horrors with us, I think you'll have a good time. Hello and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal presents Season 1, City of Whoa!
Whoa now.
That's right. Hold up. Hold a minute. Wait a minute. Everyone, stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going around.
Oh, it's Glomus.
It's Glomus. Glomus has gone round. He's gone in the front door, through the kids' door, out the window, and into the car. But not through the same way that he got in the car earlier, because he can only go through one entry way, one time.
That is the funniest improv you forced upon this ghoul. This ancient entity who has lived for hundreds of years is just like, God fucking damn it.
Cyril single-handedly killed that entire disguise Glomus had for who knows how long.
Oh, man. Well, no, I mean, the disguise is still working, although some of his, I don't know if I described this, but some of his clothes would have tattered, ripped and torn as he grew to his 9-foot form. But let's go back a little bit more, because last time, I don't know if you remember, but Neil Smith, you turned on the spirit box and Neil Smith jumped and attacked Cyril. Joel decided to retaliate by punching him. Neil Smith was booming and echoing invocation of some sort, some sort of deep voice. He's clearly seemed obviously possessed and affected by the spirit box. He attempted to several times to reach out psychically and hurt some of y'all, but he kept failing. It really stank. In fact, he crit fail against Joel and his hand began turning black as he screamed.
Mm-hmm.
There's some fun sand loss in there. Just some, you know, bonds that we cast off sanity onto. Joel continued to punch Neil Smith, but then you decided, let's just try turning off the spirit box, which worked. And after a little discussion with Neil Smith and his dad, you decided to run and grab your consulting friend, Big G, aka Glomus. What's that fun? I was re-listening to that. It's a fun little, you know, rant from Joel to Glomus on the drive back. Glomus assumes the name Monte Giovanni for this disguise. And he and y'all get back and attempt to exorcise the kid, but in reaction to the exorcism slash potentially the spirit box activating, it's kind of unclear, and I don't know that we ever actually sorted it out. But regardless of how we got there, Neil Smith managed to respond to Glomus's attack and destroy Glomus's disguise, temporarily reverting him into a ghoul form. But Glomus was able to revert back to a human form, and y'all, after back and forth, eventually managed to get Neil unpossessed by trapping another spirit inside the Organite. And then that's when, you know, giving the advice to not play any role-playing video games came out. Glomus exited through the window, much to Neil Smith and his father's consternation, surprise, confusion, all of the above. But that's where we ended last time. So it's we're getting to Sunday afternoon. So Mark, I know Cyril has a photo shoot. I don't know what details you have of that handy, but I also just wanted to poll the group. What sort of things you wanted to do?
Yeah, Cyril has a photo shoot in the afternoon. He's just doing a family reunion kind of thing, shooting a family reunion.
Okay, so not in Image Maker Studios. This is
no. He's just kind of out and about. Yeah, just kind of doing part of his job. So it's been on the books a while.
All right, we might pop in to see you there. Noah, what's Marcy going to be up to this Sunday afternoon? Does she want to go hang out with Cyril at the family reunion?
Yeah, I think she... No. I think she's going to go...
It is the Hestagath reunion.
But Marcy was not invited.
How? Wait, you're in my family? Huh?
I'm thinking picture of all of your, like, sisters and stuff, yeah.
Don't do that. Don't be weird. No, I think she's going to go see her uncle, or at least call him up and let him know what's been going down, because some crazy shit's happened that since the last time they've talked.
Okay, well, calling him up and going to see him are two very different things.
Yeah, I think she's going to drive towards him and call him up and let him know that she's on the way.
Okay, all right.
The perfect, like, moment where you're kind of like, ooh, can you not come over to my house right now? Where it just puts all the impetus on you to say no.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he does answer, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's it's great to hear. Yeah, yeah, love for you to swing by. We can hang out for a couple hours. I can put on a movie or something, and maybe stick around for dinner. And so we'll get to you there. Tyler, what is Joel up to this afternoon?
Joel is going to go hang out with Kian, because it's been a while since he's hung out with his only roommate and friend. And on the way there, he's going to pick up food from whatever their favorite local place is, probably like a late night chicken and waffles place. And in the process of hanging out with him, he's just going to ask Kian if he's kind of seen anything weird himself going on. You know, just he's getting a little more nervous about the way the town seems to be nosediving, but things are getting weirder and weirder quicker and quicker than he expected.
Okay. All right. This all sounds great. I'm just going to roll to see who we go see first. So 1 through 3, Noah, Tyler, Mark. It's a 3. All right. So Mark, Cyril is at this family reunion. Imagine it's being held. Maybe it's in a park kind of on the edge of town.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just, you know, Sunday afternoon reunion. It's a park that's got big pavilions in it and like soccer fields and some baseball fields. That sort of thing. So it's, you know, it's a coolish. I mean, it's you guys are starting to get towards the cooler end of the year.
Yeah.
But still a little bit, you know, just enough uncomfortable that I imagine, you know, it's not your favorite job, but
right.
It's hard to beat a Sunday afternoon, and it pays all right.
Yeah. So he's just out there shooting probably like a 50th anniversary or something.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. They've been in love a long time, and you know, it goes fairly normally. They have a little you're there sort of at the end of the luncheon, where they move towards, you know, okay, now that everyone's eaten, let's line up. And so they do big groups, and you know, it's one thing where you got the parents, and then they had, you know, probably 5 kids, and then each one of those kids has had kids, and so you've got like, you know, the brothers and the sisters and all the grandsons and all the granddaughters. And then, you know, the boys, it's a bunch of different things. And just, you know, a handful of people have paid extra for like portraits, mm-hmm. style things.
Yep.
And there's a lot of great places, you know, the sort of wooded backdrops and mm-hmm. bushes. Go ahead and just make me an alertness roll.
Okay, hold on. Sorry, I'm not in roll 20. That's my bad. I forgot. I was like... What am I forgetting here?
You forgot that we were playing a role-playing game?
I forgot that we were doing something actually role-playing-wise. Hold on.
It's all right.
Fail. 83 over 68.
Okay. So this goes, I mean, it's a few hours, and then after sort of the more, you know, when all the family stuff is done, you start doing portraits, you're pulling them aside, and, you know, the mom and dad have... got microphones, and they're you know, doing family memories and talking about that sort of thing. And then each one of the kids is sort of giving like memories of growing up. And that's pretty much all you notice. But it runs a few hours, and the oldest daughter is the one who you know, comes up to you after a little while, and it's like, okay, I think everyone's gotten all of their stuff. And she hands you an envelope stuffed with cash. She's like, it's money we agreed on, so thank you. And if you want, you can mm-hmm. grab some of the they've got like these little you know, sort of treat baskets. It's got like a cake pop and, you know, a couple other things. And she's like, thanks for coming. And you said it's a 2 week turnaround. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I should be able to get them. You know, I'll get all the editing done and then I will shoot you an email so you can look at the gallery online. And then you guys can order prints that you haven't already ordered. If people want prints and things like that, they can put in an order through my website.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you. And you have a wonderful Sunday afternoon.
Oh,
I guess evening now. She looks around.
Yeah.
Wow. Time really flies.
All right. Thank you. And he packs up his stuff.
All right. Let's go to Tyler. Tyler with Joel. Joel rolls up to his apartment, opening the door. You see in your kitchen on the table, there is an open foil packet with one brown sugar Pop-Tart that appears to have one quarter of it just cut out with like a steak knife. So it's got like a much harder line on it. But you don't actually hear Kian right away.
Okay, he comes in and he looks at it and it's just like, God, again, I got Waffle O's. Ian?
You hear from his room, okay. And he gets up and opens his door and he's like, hey, man, I've seen you for a little bit. How's it going? You said Waffle O's?
Yeah, I got the regular chicken and waffles, extra dark meat. Hands it off to him.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, man. And he plops down on the couch and turns on the TV. And I don't know, it's just Sunday afternoon, just not notorious for, you know, great TV programs, but it's whatever's on. And he's like, so where you been, man? Like, it feels like I haven't seen you in few days.
Yeah, Joel pops a squat right next to him with the bottle of maple syrup because he's like, he says they never give enough maple syrup, and the bottle of hot sauce. And he, with already a mouthful of a drumstick, is just like, sorry. Yeah, you know, we did another quick little investigation after the interview and everything. Did you catch the interview, by the way?
Oh, yeah, that was on, Cynthia? No, not Cynthia. Who was that? Hang on. Cynthia's the one that you know.
Nina.
That was the one with Nina. Hang on. So he says, oh, yeah, the one with Nina? Yeah, I watched that. It was pretty good times.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to really keep an eye, check it out. Was my part weird at all? Did she keep anything weird in?
He thinks really hard. You can tell he's like pretty tired at this point. He's like, I don't remember anything weird. I mean, it's ghost hunting, right? Like, that's weird, comes with the territory.
That's fair, but no, she asked a question and I kind of overreacted. I was hoping that it wasn't put in there. Good. Oh, anyways.
I don't remember anything like that. No.
No. Actually, we had another little interview last night with a guy from some fucking where that basically is Canada, and absolute freak. You'd love him. Way too smart for his own good. Absolute loser. He had a Star Wars t-shirt on.
Oh, man, that does sound like a loser.
Actually, no, he didn't. He had his own website's t-shirt on, but he likes Star Wars. Let's be real. No, he got real interrogate-y and he put things on me that went woo and with lights and trying to see, like, check if we did weird shit with the ghosts and alien. He thinks that ghosts are aliens. It's psychopath, literal psychopath. But no, the reason I wasn't really home today, we had another investigation and we found something else today.
Wait, you found something else?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. What?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, real?
Real, yeah. I don't know yet, and you obviously can't tell anyone, but something was possessing this kid. Couldn't be more than 14, 15 years old.
Oh, whoa. How'd a kid like that get mixed up in ghost stuff?
No fucking idea.
Yeah, that's, okay, interesting. Well, when's that episode dropping?
I don't know. There's still a lot of editing, and I don't even know if we're going to get a full episode out of it. It was such a quick in and out. Probably going to just be a side note on our website or something.
Okay, all right. He's chomping through the chicken by this point pretty heavily. So a lot of this is, you know, with sort of half full mouth.
Mm-hmm. Same with Joel. Absolutely same. It is a disgusting mess in there, and I would slap both of them in real life. But he will ask, have you noticed anything weird in town at all? Like, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of just random people here, you know, tourists, but does the town seem a little more on edge to you, like, as a whole?
It's crazy that you say that. Like, last night, Saturday night, it felt like I got pizza, and the delivery driver, like, kind of flipped out at me about not tipping him enough. And I was like, dude, it's 15%. That's, like, normal for delivery.
I don't think that's weird. That's just, he's a bit of an asshole.
Yeah, but I've never had a delivery driver be rude to me, you know? They've always been cool.
I mean, I guess, but it was late. You probably weren't, let's be real, the most gracious and welcoming of customers in that instance. No, it's weird.
Well, I guess so. That's, I don't know, like that, you know, I don't get out much, right? Like,
no, I'm not, of course, but I don't know. Just
honestly, Joel, the weirdest thing lately has just been you.
Weird shit's happened to me.
Yeah. Well, not just what's happened to you. Like, you feels like you've not been home for a little bit. You turned down the Pop-Tart, you know, which, by the way, sorry, I had another little bite of it, but I really wanted to save it for you just in case you wanted it.
Listen, I appreciate it. Yeah, no, it's just we've been busy with media and everything, figuring out what the next step is, and been talking to Ivy again. So,
oh, hey, man, and he, you know, slugs your shoulder. He's like, talking to Ivy. All right.
Yeah, he does it as he's going to put hot sauce on the waffles and everything, and it zips out and hits the couch, and he just reels it in for a second.
It joins it, some of the hot sauce spills and joins a myriad of stains.
Yeah, from very similar situations. Yeah, I honestly, that might be the weirdest thing that's happened all day or all week. I really thought I fucked that up. I don't know. Kian, I know you're tired. You need to get some sleep. I mean, we both need to go to work tomorrow. What do you make of all this? Like, we've had two separate real cases back to back in town. There's that can't be coincidence, right?
I don't know, man. Like, you know, I don't really have an opinion on the whole ghost thing, right? Like, but what's that saying? Like, one is an event, two's
coincidence, three is suspicious.
You know, coincidence, three is a pattern, that sort of thing. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Has something happened? Something happened to bring ghosts to care for?
And he will give the most over-exaggerated shrug as possible, I guess. Maybe that's the next step, figuring out what happened there. Maybe getting out to the family's old psych ward out on the outside of town. Maybe that'll be a good episode just to keep things a little more normal.
Yeah, it's a cool place. You know, while I was in high school, I went there a couple times with friends, which is, you know, still kind of abandoned. It's one of those sort of spooky places to go, you know, smoke pot, hang out.
I'm not surprised at that whatsoever. I mean, anything neat I should keep an eye out for if I go there?
No, I don't know. I mean, you know, broken glass, that sort of thing.
No.
I never had anything. I mean, listen, you know, I've never had a ghost experience, right? Like, I've told you.
Yeah, I was talking more vistas and such. I guess. Yeah, no, I know you haven't had anything weird happen, and it'd be really cool if we keep it that way.
All right. Well, sounds good. And he just, like, goes back to eating his chicken and watching whatever's on TV. It's like, yeah, Sunday afternoon, it's just like a little news update. You get, like, a lot of news from New Orleans, and I don't know if you're like watching for anything, but they're, you know, it's relatively normal news. It's just stuff that happened over the weekend, stuff that's happening next weekend. Almost weird, and like it's super normal, right? Which might be a little bit of contrast to the day and the past like week you've had.
Yeah, especially the past day. I think that's the one thing that Joel is keeping an ear out for, is what happened in Louisiana being reported even slightly. And yeah, that is the weirdest thing, that it is too normal after the last day.
Well, Joel gets a little normal respite as he continues to eat fried chicken and waffles. And we move to Marcy, who is pulled up to the fence outside of Barnabas's property. She parks, hits the little buzzer, is let in, and heads down into the underground bunker, which he has built. Just still very funny to me that he has this big old bunker. I don't know how big it is, but that sort of thing. But Marcy, when you get down there, he's got a TV on, and it's a very like bare bones couch. And the TV is just hooked up to a little DVD player that he's got. And he has put on RoboCop.
Oh, hell yeah.
What scene in RoboCop?
Oh gosh. It's early on. What's the first time that you see the, is it the, oh gosh, what's the name of the thing? The two-legged,
the big one. Yeah. Yeah. Something like
that. Oh, the what is it? The Eds?
I can't remember what it's called.
Is that what it's called?
Something like that.
TI-87.
The TI is the ED-209.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, the Ed-209s.
Yeah, the Ed-209s. It's the first time you see that, which is pretty early, right?
Yeah, it's like the first 5 minutes that one guy gets like blown away, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's pretty early on.
It's such a good scene.
Oh, gosh, such a good movie.
Yeah, we don't talk about the sequels, but...
No, or the remake.
We really don't talk about the remake. God, that one made me so irrational. That was the first remake that I was like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
Anyway. So, Marcy, you head down into the bunker?
Yeah.
He's got RoboCop up, and he's got some popcorn out. He's like, hey, Marcy, how's it going? Hope the last week, I feel like we didn't keep in touch very well. That's probably my fault. I've been real busy. Meant to ask for your help, but I just got distracted and everything. So,
oh, I'm sorry. I just let me know a time this coming week, and I'll swing by.
Oh no, I got it all hooked up. I had to put in some new security stuff.
Oh, do you want me to look over it just to have a second pair of eyes look over at once?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, I got shot at last week.
What? You got shot at?
Yeah.
What happened?
During one of our investigations, we went down to this jazz club, and I guess some people didn't like us looking into something, and we got shot at. I'm okay. I mean, I'm here. Joel's car had a bullet hole through it, but everyone's fine.
He looks at you, and he's like, wait, you left town?
I mean, I came right back.
Marcy, I knew something bad was going to happen.
You did? What?
I told you not to leave town, right? Like, there's stuff going on, Marcy. Listen, I don't know how much you paid attention, but something's wrong around town. Something happened, and I don't know, but things have been kind of out of whack. I mean, and he gestures to his arm, which you notice now, like, he's wearing sort of a white undershirt and then an open flannel. And he's got his arm bandaged under there, and he's like, things have been happening. And he looks at you, and he's like, I had to install new security stuff because, I had trespassers on my property, and
did someone make it in?
No, I had to, respond. And, that's when I got in the tussle with them. I managed to drive them off, but I
Who was them?
I don't know exactly. Couple guys showed up kind of late at night.
Normal weapons or?
They didn't have any weapons, but they were definitely, you know, they had flashlights and.
What did they do to you?
We just got into a fight, Marcy.
Okay.
Like a fist fight.
Okay.
And I think I broke my arm, maybe just sprained my elbow. I don't know. Haven't been to the hospital, but it's doing okay.
In her mind, Marcy is thinking about just asking, how much do you know? And she is holding on to that statement in her mind and just tumbling it over and over, wondering if she should say it. What are the outcomes of her saying this to him? And then she goes into, I did an interview last week as well for we had a interesting investigation that resulted in us encountering actual spirits.
Oh, real ghosts.
Yeah, I got thrown off of a, I got thrown through a floor and broke something on me, and I'm okay now too, but like, I don't know if anything broke, but it was painful. And then it tried to throw a chandelier at me and other stuff. But point is, how much do you know?
He gives you like a real quizzical look and he's like, well, I already told you I didn't know who these guys were. I don't know why they were scouting my property.
What do you know about Carefor? How long have you been here? What do you know about Carefor?
He says, well, I got here and, hang on. I have to look something up real quick. He says, well, you know, I came to the town in the 70s. I've lived here ever since. I mean, what do you mean? Like Carefor, you know, candy company started back in the early 1900s.
Oh, by the way, I have coupons for the candy company. If you want anything, I'm probably going to go out there later and pick something up, but that's aside the point. I have a contact that has informed me that there's a lot of stuff going on with Carefor. And part of our investigation in that house released something. And you need to be safe. We all need to be safe.
Okay.
Things are in motion that cannot be put back safely. I'm trying with help of some other people, but things are a little hectic. Case in point of why I was so strange about getting shot at, because that wasn't the weirdest thing that happened to me. Getting shot at is nothing when you see a ghost literally try to, well, do all that to you. And trying to exorcise a spirit from a child and it ranting about something dark and mysterious, and someone pointing a gun at you doesn't like phase you as much when a spirit tells you some dark portent about something running in whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Marcy, I don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Okay.
Things said, so are you saying that there's a purpose to all this?
I don't know if it's necessarily a purpose, and more like shit's fucked, I think, is the not necessarily the purpose, but just like the result.
Okay, well,
I'm not saying it's our fault, but I'm saying that I'm trying to fix something.
Okay.
We have someone who knows more than we do helping us. We have two people actually that are helping us a lot. But if it comes down to it, would you be willing to let some people in?
He looks down, and in the background, RoboCop is
it's a scene where Murphy's getting his legs blown off.
He's just constantly getting shot.
Oh man, he looks down and he's just like, Marcy, I don't know that I could sustain more than you and me down here for too long.
I'm not asking for sustainability for an extended period of time. I'm talking about in an emergency scenario, letting people in for a day or two or three.
If they...
Not a lot of people, but some people.
If they're willing to bring some of their own supplies, sure.
Yeah.
I guess I'm kind of confused. Do you think that whatever is going on with the town is tied into the guys that were scouting my land?
Have you, when you were younger, did you ever go driving? And driving through weird little podunk towns that had nothing going on and you drove right through them?
Yeah, of course.
That's what Carrefour was for a time. But now people know about Carrefour, like capital K know about Carrefour. And more people are coming. And during the interview, Nina Hernandez, she tried to get information about you out of me. She set up she acted like they were turning off my microphone, and then she started asking me questions about you. I don't know why. I don't know fucking why. And I've got ghosts trying to kill me, and TV hosts asking me weird pointed questions about you. So I was wondering if you knew more than I did about some stuff, or if this is just mundane bullshit that I can just turn my head up at it and not come back at me.
Marcy, do you know how much money it takes to build an underground bunker in Louisiana?
I assume you won some form of lottery or some windfall that came in your path and you did that.
Windfall, yeah. that's one way to describe it, for sure. But the point is, there are aspects of my past and history that some people might find suspicious, but nothing that could ever be proven. And honestly, I mean, I know there's rumors.
Did you help out a mob boss or something?
No. I know there's rumors about me, and that's fine. Sometimes I started a couple of the rumors, right, to just throw people off the trail. But
she squints.
I don't think anyone. I think everyone still thinks of me as a Luddite, which is good because I don't really have a bunch of technology. I don't even have a bunch of money, relatively speaking, right? I'm not like I don't have like a bunch of cash, right? Not much here to steal.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why people would be scoping out my land. And I mean, especially so close to the hurricane, I'd figure they'd, you know, they wouldn't want to be, right? They'd want shelter at least. I mean, we didn't get hit with that much rain, but still it's uncomfortable, right? No one likes to be outside in a hurricane.
No.
I don't know, Marcy. No, I don't know any big secrets about the town, so can't help you there. But I do know, and he looks, that the director's commentary on this one is pretty good. And he switches the audio channel to the director's commentary and grabs a handful of popcorn as it continues to play.
She'll also eat some popcorn and drink some, I assume, some form of soda that he has.
Tab.
Oh.
It's all from the original run, too.
Oh my god.
They pop it open and there's no fizz. Right. Oh.
There hasn't been fizz in that shit for two decades.
Oh man.
It's like, are these cans actually made out of aluminum or
Oh, that's funny.
I think that wraps up most of the Sundays. Except for when later that night for Joel and whenever Marcy gets home, I need you both to make alertness checks.
Alertness checks?
Yes, alertness checks.
All right. Well,
alertness.
Alertness.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I got a 1% under 54.
That's fucking big, and I fumbled.
Oh, oh my gosh. It could not have gone more bizarrely. Okay. All right. Okay. Let me
decide how Joel dies.
Marcy is fully riding the high of trauma dumping on her uncle. Just like, all right, I got that weight off my chest. I am aware of everything around me instantly now.
I think this works out because I was going to say before Joel goes to bed, Joel was going to text specifically Cyril and just ask him, be like, hey, is it weird that I'm not freaked out that I was shot at? Like, since he's the only, like, between the three of them, he was in the military. He's been shot at before. He knows that. So it's just like, hey, is it weird that I'm only now just freaked out I was shot at, like a day later?
Cyril, yeah, he'll text you back and just be like, oh, no, that happens to some people. They kind of, you know, in shock for a little bit. And then the whole world comes crashing in on you. So it's perfectly normal. It happens to some. Some people freak out in the moment. Other people freak out a day later.
Yeah, and I think just processing that is why he fumbled.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I was shot at. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that, as I considered what the results of these are going to be. So Joel is sitting there watching TV. The chicken and waffles has now gone cold, although I imagine he still picks at it from time to time.
Oh, no, he ate it all. It's all gone.
Okay. All right. Well, it's completely gone then. And the TV on, whether he's actively watching or in the background, you know, 8 o'clock news break, 8 p.m. news break comes on. And as you're watching, it's, you know, what, again, mundanely normal headlines. But as one of the reporters is sitting on, or not sitting, but standing on a street corner, you notice for just a second a guy walk by in the background. You swear he looks so familiar, but you cannot place him at all. It's just like, it's a face that you're like, oh, that face looks super familiar. But I don't know.
Fuck.
Marcy is at her home, and it's about, let's say 8:05 p.m. And I don't know, what does Marcy do when she gets home?
She is just going to sit on the couch and just do that Shinji thing in the chair where he's just sitting there staring forward, doing nothing for like 5 minutes.
So as Marcy Shinji's in the chair, there's a knock at the door.
Marcy looks through the people, gets up as quiet as possible, and slowly makes her way to the people.
Okay, as you look out the people, you see a face. And for your critical alertness, you recognize this face immediately. It's a face that Joel just failed to recognize in the background of a news report in New Orleans. But you recognize as a guy who dropped a big pot of something when you were at the Riverbend Blues Lounge. He's dressed in a UPS uniform and he has a package. And he says, UPS.
Marcy backs away from the door.
Okay.
Marcy backs as far away from the door as she can. And she calls Cyril.
Okay. As you...
Should I roll stealth? Should I even try?
Yeah, go ahead and roll stealth. This is, let's roll stealth versus his firearms, which he just passed on with a 19 under 40.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Eat shit. I rolled a 9 under 30.
So, okay, well, strictly speaking, in contested rolls, the higher one normally wins.
The higher one. Okay, I misunderstood. Thought it was the lower. Okay.
But here's the thing. I think, see. Let me check something in the rules real quick.
Okay. I don't know why I thought it was the lower one when I've been playing Delta Green for like over a year now, and I still continuously forget that's the correct one.
In my head, Delta Green has degrees of success. And I don't know why, because I know it's not right.
Oh,
because that's Call of Cthulhu. Call of Cthulhu has those degrees of success.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 20 under, 50 under, that kind of thing.
God damn it.
So I was just checking. Yeah, okay. That's
he is firing through a door, right?
He is firing through the door. I mean, strictly speaking, I don't know if that should that give him a penalty? Because even with a 20% penalty, that gives him a 39 under 40. Oh, so that would still pass.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Marcy's getting shot.
Okay. Well, let's see.
I'm so glad.
Marcy's not had a good day.
I'm so glad my critical success is fuck you, get shot.
Well, that's actually the rule that I had written for this was whoever passes the alert gets to see the guy.
Oh,
oh great.
And Mark failed his alertness. He just regularly failed, so he didn't even notice. And obviously Tyler saw him. But Tyler saw him, you know, okay, maybe that was recorded a little bit earlier, but would that guy have had enough time to get there? I don't know, just some things to think. Anyways, this small caliber pistol shoots through the door. And hits you for, I mean, just wings you for 3 points of damage. So what do you do, Marcy?
Marcy immediately calls Cyril. She will, like, run back to, like, just take cover and call Cyril as best as she can with her phone. Because he's if this is someone from the Riverbend Blues Lounge, no, actually, Detective Marr. She'll call Detective Marr.
Okay. Detective Marr picks up and says, hey, Marcy, what's going on?
I'm being shot at. It's someone from the place we went, the Riverbend Blues Lounge. I'm getting shot at.
Okay, I'll be right there.
Okay.
And you hear him, like, you know, you hear him moving. He's moving. I mean, he's going to have a faster response time than most policemen, right? But it's still going to be a few minutes.
She is just going to try to, like, grab her own Kimber and just make her ready and just take aim at the door and get ready to, like, defenders, like, barely peeking behind a wall and just get ready to shoot if someone tries to break in.
Okay.
And make sure she's not in front of a window.
Okay. That's good. That's a good, probably a good.
She's in her panic room with Jodie Foster.
All right. He's gonna try and break this door down. He fails to break the door down, and that's his entire turn.
Marcy is still... Would we consider Marcy has taken the take aim action?
If you want to, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Marcy will try to call out, like, they're on their way, you better go. I've called the police.
Okay, aiming sacrifices your turn and you get 20% to aim, so that you know, going to get your Kimber and aiming, I think, is a fair use of, you know, one turn. So you can shoot at him with a plus 20 to your attack.
Okay, where's my guns? Where's firearms? There it is. Okay, this is going to be awful. That's a 77 over with the modifier 55.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Well, unsurprisingly to anyone who's ever used a Kimber, an attack roll that fumbles is bad news. The exact outcome remains up to the handler and can include a misfire, drop, accidentally hitting a friend, a bystander, or himself or herself. Attacker stumbles and falls. I think
Joel was like, oh my god, I heard.
Here's what I'll say. Since you spent the time to aim, this fumble goes from requiring, like, multiple turns to you just have to spend one turn to fix it.
I forgot to fucking load it.
Oh yeah, click no bang.
All right, and so let's go ahead and let's see if he can break it down this time. 45. Oh yeah. Yep. That's slower than a strength. He busts open the door, but that's all you can do this round.
All right.
It's your turn. So you got to either spend the turn, clearing the misfire / loading the gun, or you can do something else.
Oh my God.
Marcy's in a bit of a problematic situation here, huh?
Yeah.
Marcy is in a very bad spot. I am not going to say that it's a guaranteed thing, but Marcy might be going back to the hospital.
How strong does this guy look?
He doesn't look exceptionally strong. In fact, he looks pretty average strength-wise.
Marcy is going to charge him and try to break his, like, gun hand. Fully, like, knock the gun out of his hand and just try to, like, get him into a physical altercation.
Okay, that sounds like some sort of
unarmed grapple.
Yeah, I've got the straight 40 and unarmed. I'm just hoping.
All right, go ahead and make that. He has acted this turn, so he cannot, like, fight back or dodge.
That is a, oh my God, wait, wait. That is a 46 over 40. I am checking something. I only have 4 left.
Oh. No, no.
God damn it. I was hoping I had 2 more. 2 of them spent in a heartbeat. No, yeah, that's a fail.
Okay, well, that's fine. You're up close to him now. So
you're at point blank range.
You are in point blank range, but he takes a second to assess the situation. He sees that you are bleeding, and so he takes the butt of his gun and attempts to strike you on the top of the head. Oh, he gets a glancing blow that barely, there's like a unexpected ridge to shape to Marcy's head, and so his the blow of his gun just sort of harmlessly bounces off.
She's a cone head?
He meant to hit you. He meant to like pistol whip you, but instead he caught you with like the meat of his hand. And so like it's uncomfortable, but it doesn't like do any damage.
It's a bonk.
Yeah.
Just a gentle caress.
He rizzed you up.
It's just accidentally he pushes your hair behind your, he pushes your hair behind your ears. He takes off your glasses and he says, "You were beautiful the whole time."
You only just realize he has hazel eyes.
Okay, what does Marcy do?
She's just gonna look confused, like, what the fuck? And then just try to kick his shin and just force him to go down, and then she's gonna try to put him in a grapple.
Oh my.
Okay, so let's make an unarmed strike.
A 79 over 40. I need to just run, but that's my action spent.
Okay, I'm gonna, let's see, what does this guy do?
Rolls to French.
Okay, after this, him failing to knock you out, and you not successfully, you know, hurting him, but still putting up a fight, and you did just call somebody on the phone, he turns around and begins to run. As he runs, you can do one more thing.
Shoot him in the face.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up the bola that I keep by my door at every all times, and I'm just... No. The emergency bola, go!
Go get your bola.
Her fucking arm just changes into a cybernetic shot. Just... Poof. Oh, God, I wanted to say she pulls out a bowling ball and just lines up.
What a Scooby-Doo ending. You bowl it, it gets right under his foot. You just like,
but no, that's the dumbest thing that I could do. I mean,
knocks himself out.
So what I'll tell you can do is you can hit him with your gun. You can try and tackle him. You can try and I think those are the two things. You can hit him with your gun as he leaves, or you can try and tackle him.
I think she just slams the door shut.
Okay. All right. And this guy is attempting to run basically full speed. Let's see how this goes. Okay. He's fine. What floor do you live on?
I think the second floor.
So he runs out your front door and bounds over the railing as you slam the door behind him. Make one more alertness check.
Okay. The sound of his kneecap shattering as he impacts the ground. That's a 98 over 54. It ain't my night, bud.
Oh my God!
I got 1%, and that was,
you know,
it.
it's funny that you say that. You don't hear any contact with the ground. But that might, you know, your door is broken, right?
The idea of I don't hear contact with the ground, like he just got raptured. This man just got raptured.
Well, you never know. The after a few minutes of being inside and imagine breathing heavily as she recovers, Detective Marr comes bounding up the steps. You hear his vehicle screech in, and then him jump out and bound up the steps, and he sees your door that has now been broken in, and he looks at you and he says, "Well, you want to take me up on that having a party at my house?"
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to end for right now.
I knew this was all a ploy to have a sleepover.
I just wanted to get you all in Detective Mark's house. That's it.
It's the sleepover episode. Let's go.
Yay, sleepover, pillow fight.
I just got shot. Oh my God.
Thank you once again for tuning in to Chaos Springs Eternal Presents Season 1, City of Woe. This is a Delta Green actual play. Shout out to Arc Dream Publishing for putting out Delta Green. It's my favorite role-playing system. So thank you to those guys, and thank you to all of you for listening. Please make sure that you go rate and review us on iTunes or your podcast app of choice. I know Google Podcasts is wrapping up here soon, so RIP. We are going to start putting these out to YouTube as well, so make sure you go check our check the link in the show notes and go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube for when that happens. Every little bit helps, guys. We really appreciate the feedback that we've been getting. Make sure you email us once you've done your review, and if you give us an NPC name, we'll happily incorporate them. We are going to have more characters join us in Care 4. So thank you for listening, and thank you to Pawns or Kings for Cositus. It's our theme song, and let's listen to the rest of it now.
It would be funny if you had said something like she went to sleep, so that Dan had to figure out how she could have been alert. She closed her eyes, put a blindfold on, and went into her, you know, her sensory deprivation chamber.
She'd take a little nap.
Marcy got home, lock herself in the cellar, put the thing on.
Me.
Please don't let me drown.